Last week, I spoke on Thanksgiving for acceleration. It's a series. Today, I'm taking the part two, and I want to say to us that this series might as well take us into all through the end of the year. Because there's no way I want to rush it. I need you to grasp something. I need you to enter into the new year, into 2019, with a new mindset, with a brand new mind, so that the same thing of the past will not be the same thing of the future. In Jesus' mighty name. That is why deliberately I'm going to take my time on this series. This is my part two. You can call last week part one. This is my part two. And my part two is titled, Developing Capacity for Acceleration. Developing Capacity for Acceleration. Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 20, speaking on the integrity of the word of God. It says, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people. What? All the words of life. The Bible contains what? All the words of life. The Bible is filled with the words of life. Solutions to every challenge. There's nothing you are looking for that you can't find in the Bible. The Bible is the only book that cannot be edited. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Somebody said the word of God is profitable. Hallelujah. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, you and I, may be complete. God wants you and I to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that will be so for you. Amen. And me too, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 13. Deuteronomy 28, I'll read verse 1 first and then verse 13. This is the word of the Lord through Moses. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. This is the plan of God for you and I. God can do it. That's why he said it. Verse 13. Corresponding also to verse 1. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. This was a promise that God made to his chosen people. These were people who were born into slavery, who were owned by the Egyptians. All their lives, they were told what to do. They had no mind of their own. Their mind has been conditioned to think little. They give them straws and mortar to make bricks. They developed Egypt. Egypt was developed on their backs, on their pains, on their sorrows. Hallelujah. They had no personal dreams. Their desire seems to die within them. Something of note. This world we live in now is fast changing, right? Technologically, in terms of infrastructure, economically, everything is changing. The then world, the Bible world, also was fast changing. The way Israel met Egypt was not the way they left Egypt. Egypt had added more edifice, infrastructure. They had become more blessed on the backs of the children of Israel. God used Joseph to be a blessing, to teach them about banking. Hallelujah. Egypt became more prosperous, more powerful. Even though they left Egypt as a damaged, emotionally damaged nation, and also economically down nation, because they collected their gold and their silver, but it was not the way they came to Egypt. It was not the Egypt they met that they left. Because Egypt too changed. Their culture remained the same. Their traditions remained the same. Their idolatry remained the same. But they were advancing on other fronts. And now, the land which God promised the children of Israel, from Genesis chapter 15, when God spoke to Abraham, verse 18 to 21, and God confirmed it to Jacob in Genesis 28, 12 to 15. Time will fail us to read that. You can read that when you get home. When God made the promise to Abraham and confirmed it to Jacob, the place Canaan that was promised did not remain the same either. Canaan too progressed. They increased in population, infrastructure, economically, technologically, but their traditions remained the same. Their culture remained the same. Their idolatry remained the same. Even though Israel was living in a big nation, their mind was little. And God promised them something bigger than their minds. God told them, people who were owned, that they would become owners. It's almost impossible to fathom in the mind. Moses was telling them, the same God who brought you out of Egypt, if you listen to him, if you follow his instructions, he will make you the head. What? We have never been the head before. I've never been a manager before. I've never been in a high position of leadership before. I've always worked on the floor. Now they're going to give you, God said, you're going to have an office.
You are going to have people working for you. You are going to have a secretary. You are going to have a company car. You are going to have a company drive. All done. What are you saying? I've never seen such before. God is making that promise to you where you are now. The promises of God are always beyond where we are. They are always bigger than who we are. Hallelujah. The head. What does it mean to be the head? It is the head that leads. It is the head that makes decisions. The tail does not make decisions. The tail does not lead. The tail follows. God said, you are not going to be the tail. Somebody's status is changing this season. These people were physically free, but their mind was not free. They had become what I call institutionalized, and they have lost their sense of worth. If you are blood bought, blood washed, you can't lose your worth. Because if you are not worth much, Jesus will not die for you. If you are not worth much, Satan will not be attacking you. Tell your neighbor, you are worth much more. You see, the thing with institutionalization is a lifestyle you are used to. And then they present you with a new lifestyle. You still will keep going back to behaving in your old lifestyle because that's what you are used to. You are used to sleeping on the floor. And one day somebody said, you know what? You have been promoted. Come. This is a bed for you. By the time they come the following morning, they will meet that person on the floor. Because they are not used to sleeping on a bed. I remember for years, I had what was called diverticulitis. You know, there are some things that Satan brings that you can't pronounce. Struggling with it. Praying for grace every day. Praying for healing every day. And God was leading me through. I couldn't eat this. I couldn't eat that. And then now, it has been removed. Listen to me. The thing is, for some time, for some weeks, my mind was still on what I couldn't eat. You understand what I'm trying to say? When I see, oh, I'm a bona fide, transformed, former Nigerian. But I still like ogbono. I still like egusi soup. I still like okra. Before, I couldn't eat all that. Can you imagine? I couldn't eat all that. When I couldn't eat soup made with pepper. Sorry, those of you who have given me food and all those. And the other, oh, pastor ate it. I didn't eat it. I'm sorry. Because I couldn't. Then I like. So, the first few weeks, when they present me, the first question I ask is, I hope that is not, I can't. Then my wife will say, but you don't have it anymore. Then I have to start reconditioning my mind that I am free. Yeah. You are free. Yeah. The children of Israel, their lives were ruled by fear. They never knew anything called success.
They've never knew anything called abundance. They were always managing. Let's manage this. Let's manage that. And you know, fear is an evil tool of the devil. Every spirit of fear is banished from your life. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The truth of the matter is, many Christians today are like that. They cannot fathom the integrity of the Word of God, the truth of the promises of God. We come to church, but we don't truly believe the Word. We don't truly believe what God says. For example, let me read something to you. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Ephesians 1 from verse 20 to 23. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. The Word and Sound can show us on the screen. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running what? Oh, come on, help me, church. In charge of what? Who is in charge of running the universe? That is beyond the earth. In charge of Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, my Lord, my Savior, is in charge of running the whole universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. That should set somebody free. That should set you free. Everything is under the rulership of Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. Has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Amen. The church you see, that is you and I, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks, or through which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. What does peripheral mean, for example, if you don't understand that word, peripheral? Peripheral means surrounding or surrounded. That is to say, that's why the Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Your status is beyond the physicality of this expanse that you see. And this is why I can tell you, and I can affirm to you, that you are the head. Amen. You are not the tail. Amen. God's intention for them is the same intention for you and I today. The head. You are supposed to be thinking creative thoughts. You are supposed to be thinking big thoughts. You are supposed to be thinking thoughts that are beyond you. The other day, I was hearing our Father in the Lord, Pastor Yadeboye. He said, this was in Israel. He said one of his dreams, is that he will go to space. He's 76 going to 77. I'm like, wow. This man wants to go to space. And he said, you watch and see. So I began to think. If somebody asks you, Carl, what's your dream? Then I realized that my dreams were actually cockroach dreams. They were tiny dreams. You know, many times we dream and plan based on what we have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But God is saying, dream beyond what you have. Dream beyond what you see. Dream beyond what you think is possible. Because you know who is going to bring it to pass? It's God. As we align ourselves with Him, He brings it to pass. When I came to Kansas City, I knew I wasn't here to wave and to see the city as a tourist. I came here as a missionary, as a pastor, as leading people into God's kingdom and birthing something in their lives. And the people, I did not know them. I'd never seen them before. I didn't come with any one of you. Praise the Lord. People were here that came here before and left as pastors. They said nothing can happen in Kansas City. But thank God I had come already before I heard it. Maybe I wouldn't have come at all. As you will see, we are not what you can call a multitude. But yet, where you are sitting, you own it. We own it together. It belongs to us. It came out of a dream. You didn't appreciate it. You didn't appreciate it. You're not like my children. When I pick them up from school, the first thing is we call my wife so that they can say hello to their mom. So that their mom too will know that I'm a responsible father. I picked them up. So I'm going to like, Before I put on the phone in the car, I'm going to be like, after the count of three, say hello, mommy. So the moment the phone rings and my wife picks up and say, hello, and you're just going to hear, hello, mommy. This place you are sitting in came out of a dream. Yeah. That's the right attitude. Praise the Lord. You see, you are saved to be a driving force, not to be driven forcefully. Are you listening to me? God created you to be a driving force wherever you are. Make a mark where you are, because your mind is too big for where you are. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and this is critical. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us tremble, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Pay attention here. Of all the grown-ups that left Egypt, folks, only two made it into the promised land. There were millions of them. They all died in the sand of the desert. They were all buried. Why? Because they couldn't see what God was saying. They were opposed to what God was saying. They didn't have the capacity in their mind to accept the blessing that God was presenting to them. Their mind was still in slavery. Their mind was still small. Remember when they went on this reconnaissance mission in Numbers 13, they came back, heads of families, 12 of them, 10 came back, and they narrated of a truth. That city, that town, that country is a blessed place. It's flowing with milk and honey. Everything God said it was is what it is. But there are giants there. Do you know? The land swallows up its people. And yet they found people there. It says to them in their eyes, we were like grasshoppers. So my question is, when did they become mind readers? How did you know what that person was thinking about you when they saw you? Many of us make up our minds before we hear the truth of the matter. I had a story, very funny. Oh, time. Time is an enemy. I'm going to share this story. It was a wedding. As the priest was going to join the two, man and woman, together in matrimony, you know, we get to a place where we say, if anybody knows the reason why, these two should not be joined together in holy matrimony. Speak up now or keep silent forever. There was a woman sitting at the very back, and she had a baby in her hand. She stood up and started walking forward with the baby. Walking, people thought, oh, maybe she wants to sit down in front. She went past everybody. Before, after she's gone past every seat, the woman that was to be married, she fainted. This woman kept moving and came to the priest. Sir, we can't hear you at the back. I'm a student of Shakespeare. In Merchant of Venice, there's a saying, I think by the Prince of Aragon or so. It says, coward dies many times before their death. She has not heard the woman. I bet that all of you women will probably faint. That's how we make decisions before we hear the truth. We conclude before we know the story. That's why some of you are not relating with the right people that can be a benefit to you, because somebody has spoken something to you about them and you have assumed about them. Or you look at people and you have made assumptions about them. You see, let me tell you something about acceleration. It starts with relationship. But today is not for that. You know, I said it's a series. It's a long one. Hallelujah. Amen. So what stopped the children of Israel? Those people from entering the promised land has the potential of stopping you today. They didn't have capacity. Their mind was not big enough. Everything they have ever known was pain, struggle,
force. Now, God is saying, I give it to you. Free. Go and take it over. They couldn't fathom it in their mind. A lot of us, we have killed God's idea because our mind just couldn't settle. Pastor ministers a prophetic prayer over your life. When you don't say amen, guess why? You have no capacity in your mind. You can't see that prayer come to pass. You are like, I don't think so. The mind works very fast. You process it quickly. And you allow your mind to lie to you. But the truth of the matter is, you have no capacity. Your mind is not big enough. You have not developed your mind to the point that, you know what? I'm ready. Give me an elephant. I will eat it. Pastor, how? I will cut it in small pieces. But I will eat it. God is a God of big dreams. The dreams you have allowed the devil to kill in your mind. Because you are not ready for your mind to go through process. You have not allowed your mind to be ready to picture it, encapsulate it, receive it, and run with it. Oh, it's a land filled with blessing. But your major concentration is the obstacle and why it can't work. Whereas the blessing is there. Let me ask you a question. How long are you going to be doing what you are doing right now? How long are you going to be doing your job, the same job you are doing now? What's your retirement plan? Are you planning to retire on that job? Do you have other plans? Has God shown you something bigger than the job you have? But fear has still kept you in that job? Because your mind is saying, what if it doesn't work? But I have a question for you. What if it works? But if God has said it, get what? Guess what? It's going to work. It's already working. That place is just waiting for you to step into it. If your mind can dream it, a way will be made for it. What is capacity? In closing, capacity development is a process through which individuals, organizations, and societies obtain, strengthen, and maintain the capabilities to set and achieve their own development objectives over time. Capacity is about growth. Growth of the individual in knowledge, skills, experience. Capacity is about enlargement. Enlarging your mind. Not being myopic. How you grew up, where you grew up, is still dictating your decisions. And you've been in America, and yeah, now you hold a blue passport. You are an American citizen. Citizen by word, but not in the mind. Do you have skyscrapers in your mind? Do you have a neighborhood in your mind that you own? Do you have something you've created in your mind? Listen to me, it may take time.
But you got to have something. Amen. I bought a book a long time ago. How I always thought I would finish a message is not always the way I do eventually. The book is titled, Why We Want You to Grow Rich. Why We Want You to Become Rich. By Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. I have a few books by Donald Trump, actually. Listen to me. Whatever you think about him politically, he's a smart aleck. He's a smart guy. Believe me. He said he had a dream. He started a project. That project gave him problems for 17 years. But at the end, it materialized. Why did it materialize? He stuck to it. He believed that thing. And he stood with it. Every problem that came, he overcame them. A new one that came, he overcame them. But, I mean, how many have you jettisoned? And now you have given up. You are not working on anyone at all anymore. And the compensation of your time is your salary. I shared a testimony last week about my wife's promotion. And I said something to you. I said, I expect more. I'm a more man. More. More. And you see, the more for me is not always for me. Because I have things to do with more. I have lives to touch with more. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I have people to bless with more. Because there are people I want to help that I'm not able to help now because I don't have more. But when I have more, let me tell you the truth of the matter. I've said it since the inception of this church. Give me $10 million, I will not have a sleepless night. I already know what I want to do with it. I'm not going to sit down and have a meeting and have a committee. No. I already know. How do you enlarge your mind? Oh God, time. Let's rise up and pray. We're going to continue anyway, to the end of the year. We'll continue from where we stopped. But I want you to pray one prayer. Ask God sincerely from your heart to give you capacity for his purpose and his plan for your life.